Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you alone are worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise. Lord, we pray that you would continue to tune our hearts to sing your praise, to live out your praise. Lord, let us worship you with everything that is within us. Lord, as we continue to worship you by opening up your word, Father, would you benefit us? Would you grow us closer to you? Would you use your word to convict us and challenge us, to bless us and encourage us, be a rest to our souls? Lord, we thank you for all that you are capable of doing. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. Lord, may you accept our worship to you, and may our worship to you not stop with this service, but let us live it out each and every single day of our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head and you just couldn't get it out? So I woke up this morning and I'm getting ready and I have decided to follow Jesus stuck in my head. And it's just there. And I'm humming it, I'm singing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, you got to sing it upbeat, right? Oftentimes people sing that song. I have decided to follow. It's like, come on now. This is the best thing you could ever do. And so then I'm thinking, why is this song stuck in my head? And I go to leave the house and I look at the mirror one more time just to make sure I didn't have any boogers on my face or anything. And I realize I'm wearing my I Have Decided shirt. It's my baptizing shirt, right? So had to wear it. So that's why. And then I'm thinking about my own time, my own decision to follow Jesus, my own testimony. And Judy, that's why I'm so thankful that you shared. I was so blessed by that. Because not only, as you said, this is David's testimony of what God has done, it's the Word of God. And so as I listen to the Word of God, I'm reminded that we have a duty to share our testimony. We have a duty to tell people why we have decided to follow Jesus. And why there could never be any turning back. Why I could never go back to who I once was because of who I now am in Christ Jesus. And then, on top of it, you're sharing what's in your heart. You're sharing the Word of God. It literally was hidden in your heart, and I thank you so much for that. And I got to tell each and every one of us, memorizing the Bible is good. You don't need to necessarily say, well, chapter and verse, you know, that's good too. I'm terrible at the addresses, as I call them. But if you're reading it, if you're soaking in it, if you know it, if you spend time in it, then it's going to come out. So it's a good thing to share our testimony and share the Word of God. And as I'm thinking about our testimonies, what God has done with us, I cannot help but think what we've been talking about in our series lately. We've been focusing a lot on Abraham and the covenant that God made with him. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, God says, I'm going to make of you a mighty nation. I'm going to use you to bless the world. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to do these awesome, great, incredible things with you. God covenants with Abraham. And he says, I will do these things. It's pretty incredible. But let's also remember that that covenant that God had with Abraham, that promise to bless the world, it actually didn't only start in Genesis chapter 12. We can actually go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. So in Genesis chapter 3, if you followed along, you know that's when everything went bad, right? That's when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Sin entered into the picture. Death entered into this world. And you and I, just like every other human being ever born, is born a sinner by nature and by choice. We're under that curse of sin and death. But God gives a promise. Even there, in the midst of that horrible chapter, God gives a promise. In Genesis 3:16, he says, I am going to do something awesome. I am going to send a Savior. And if we continue on in the rest of the Bible, if we read what God is doing, we remember and reminded time and time again that it's God that is doing the action. It's God who makes things happen. It's God who sends the Savior. It's God who allows us to have salvation. So what does all this have to do with Abraham? Well, in Genesis chapter 17, that's where we are today. So open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. This covenant that God has made with Abraham, it's going to get a new and really weird and cool dimension to it. But before we get there, we're going to get there next week. We're going to focus on just five verses today. We're going to focus on who God claims to be himself and who God is making Abraham into being. That's an important thing that we understand about salvation, is that you don't change who you are and then come to God, present yourself to him and say, God, I've finally made it. I've climbed the mountaintop and I'm good now. So now you can save me. Now I'm worthy of your salvation. It doesn't work that way. Instead, we get on our knees, we humble ourselves, we lay flat on our face and we say, God, I am unworthy of the salvation that you can give me. I am completely unworthy. In fact, I know, because the Bible tells me so, that you love me even though I'm a sinner. I know because the Bible says that each and every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know that the wages of my sin, the things that I've heaped upon myself, the things I have earned because I'm a sinner, is death and death alone. I also know that at just the right time, you, God, you sent your son to die in the place of a dirty, rotten sinner just like me. I know that at just the right time, you came to your enemies to give them life, to give them freedom, to give them hope. What a great God we have. Amen? We can't run past that. Let's never, ever just get so wrapped up in the fact that, oh yeah, I have salvation, I'm safe, that we forget what Jesus did in order to give us that relationship with God. So in order to do all that, in order to give us eternal life, in order for us to be saved, in order for us to say, I trust in you, Jesus, by faith, that your grace is sufficient to save me. In the midst of that, when we come to Jesus, are we perfect? Or does it like, okay, after a year, you're good, right? Or maybe some of you, you've been believers for a couple decades, and you guys, you really haven't figured it out, right? No, there's this really neat thing that happens, this sanctification process that God does with us, sinful human beings. He looks at us, and he says, I declare you innocent. I declare you guiltless. I declare you mine, and I'm going to work with you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to mold you into the image of my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to make you something that you cannot be on your own. What an awesome God. What a great God. He changes us. He makes us more like him. And we're going to see a glimpse of that today in Genesis chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, hopefully you've already turned there. In Genesis chapter 17, starting in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, we'll just stop right there. If you look back at the last chapter, all the events of the last chapter, how old was Abram at that time? He was 86 years old. And then how much time passes? I'm genuinely asking. I'm a pastor, not a mathematician, right? 13 years. I know that because I looked it up, right? I did the calculator thing. 13 years passes. That's crazy. Has anybody ever had a kid sitting down and you take something that kid wants, a cookie, candy, something, and you put it in front of them and you say, okay, that's yours, but not yet. How does that go? There's either whining and complaining that takes place. There's impatient. They're wiggling on the chair. Or you turn your back and, oh, it's gone. Right? We are not programmed for patience. It's not really in our DNA. We don't like to wait on things. We want what we want when we want it. And it's almost always the when is now. And God promises to Abram, says, I'm going to give you a son, I'm going to make of you a mighty nation. I'm going to bring you into this land. I'm going to do these incredible things. And some time passes. And what happens? We talked about that last week. Abram and Sarah, they take it into their own hands and they say, okay, this waiting thing, let's help God out. And they try that. That doesn't go quite according to plan. That's what we learned last week. We got to trust God's plan, not our own. And then from that point, there's an additional 13 years that takes place. I remember when Ashley and I, we were in the adoption process and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. We stopped praying for patience, right? We figured that one out. It's difficult. We thought, okay, today's the day that God's going to do what he said he would do. Oh, no, it's not. 13 years pass. And then God speaks to him. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. That title that God gives himself, he speaks of himself. He says, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. And what he's saying there is he's saying, I am mighty. That word in Hebrew could be found in the root of the word mountain. I am strong. I am mighty. There is nothing outside of my power. I am not moving. I am God. I'm God Almighty. I think it's pretty awesome that in 5 verses where God changes Abram's name to Abraham, I'm all about the spoilers. I did that last week. I'm doing it again this week, right? Where God changes Abram's name, before he names Abram's new name, before he does that, what does he do? He names himself. He says, do not forget who I am. Do not forget what I'm capable of. Don't forget that I am God and I am God Almighty. There is nothing that is too hard for me. There is nothing that is outside my control. There is nothing that is too big for me. And I think just in that moment, when God says, I am God Almighty, Abram, I'm El Shaddai, Abram would have fallen back and said, you're right, God. Because place yourself in his shoes for a moment. He's waited many years, more than 13. 13 years is the only, is the time that's passed between this bad episode of him and Sarah trying to trust in their own plan. But he's waited extra time, and God appears to him. And when God appears to him, what does he say? He doesn't say, oh, Abram, you silly guy. He doesn't say, hey, you ready yet? No, what does he do? He reminds them of who he is. In the midst of our worst moments, in the midst of our biggest hurts and pains, in the worst of our circumstances, that's what we need to. We need to remember who our God is. Because just simply hearing his name should quell all of our fears, should right our direction, should cause us to have a bigger and more appropriate focus on who he is. Abram and Sarai, they're wondering where their kid's going to come from. They're wondering how God is going to complete his promise. They're wondering, this is so big of a deal. God, what do you do? And God says, I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. Do you think that there is anything outside of my control? Do you think that there's anything I cannot do? I'm God Almighty. In the midst of your worries and your fears, when you look at the relationships in your life that are broken, when you look at the political climate, when you look at our culture, when you look at your own heart and your own sin that you struggle with, what's your reaction? Do you say, this is too big for anybody to take care of? This is a problem that is beyond control? Or can you take a step back and relax and rest and say, wow, I trust in God Almighty, and there is nothing that is too big for him. It's important that Abram hears that. Before his name gets changed, it's important that he remembers who his God is. Then he says, after he says, I am God Almighty, he says, walk before me and be blameless. So we've talked about a lot about grace, and we should talk a lot about grace. But when God tells Abram, walk before me and be blameless, that's a big deal. You know why that's a big deal? Because 13 years ago, Abram made a big mistake. Abram sinned. Abram did not trust in God. And you know what happened in the chapter before that? Similar things. And you know what happened in the chapter before that? Similar things. Look back in your own life. If you were to separate your life into chapters, what would each chapter look like? You'd see God's fingerprints of grace all throughout those chapters, wouldn't you? You know what else you'd see? You not trusting in God. You sinning. You trying to follow your own way, your own heart. But God, in the midst of all of the grace that he heaps on us, his call still remains, walk before me and be blameless. In other places, the Lord says, be holy as I am holy. And we've talked about that before, but how can we, sinful humans, that are fighting our very nature, allow ourselves or cause ourselves to be holy, to be blameless, to walk before God? That's hard, isn't it? Yes, it's impossible. But we serve a God who tells us that nothing is impossible with him. So how is Abram supposed to walk before God and be blameless? Naturally, with God's help. How is Abram supposed to live a life that pleases God? With God's help. With dependence on him. How are you supposed to live a life that is blameless before our Lord? How are you supposed to live a life that is pleasing in the eyes of our God? Only with his help. The wording here that God says to Abram is interesting. Walk before me. Everything that Abram does is done in the sight and knowledge before God. And God is reminding him that everything from this moment on, and including what's already happened, he's doing in full view of the Lord God Almighty. I remember when I was a kid, I would do something bad, so often, and my parents would say something in the midst of, you know, the discipline. They were good parents. They would write me. In the midst of that, they would, in the reflection time, right, they would say, now Joshua, they didn't call me Josh back then, now Joshua, would you have done what you did if Jesus was in this room right now? Would you have done what you did if he was looking at you? Would you have lied to me if Jesus was sitting next to you? Would you have hit your sister a couple times if Jesus had his hand on your shoulder? Would you have done those things? I would say, obviously not. And then they would always say, well, God is here. There'd always be that gotcha moments, right? He is here. He sees. He knows. In fact, not only that, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are his, if you're claiming that I have decided to follow Jesus, I belong to him, you know what else is happening? The Holy Spirit, he is dwelling inside of you. So not only is Jesus sitting next to you, but the Holy Spirit's in you. Think about that next time you choose to sin. Think about that next time that you decide to follow your own way and do your own thing. That gotcha moment that my parents would always say, well, he is here. Ah. It got to the point, actually, where they would ask me that question. I'd roll my eyes. I'd go, I know he's here. We also get to that point, don't we? Maybe some of you, metaphorically, of course, are rolling your eyes and saying, I know he's there. I know he's here. But boy, aren't we prone to wander? Aren't we prone to go our own way and do our own things, trust in ourselves? Don't we love the sin that chains us. But let's remember who our God is, the Lord God Almighty. And let's remember that our walk, the way we live our lives, is in full view of Him. He sees it clearly. There is nothing we can put on a good face and come to church. We can smile. We can hide our true selves to everyone else. We, as humans, are really good at deception. We can hide who we truly are to our spouse, to our kids, to our friends, to our church. We can hide that, but you know what we and who we can't hide that from? God. And God says, walk before me and be blameless. Brother, sister in Christ, your life is on full display to our God. And so the life that you live, it ought to be blameless. It ought to be pleasing to Him. And then verse 2, he says, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. God has said multiple times, and we have reiterated multiple times, that it's God who has done this covenant. It's God who does this work. But right here, God says, you know what? This will go a lot more smoothly. This will go a lot more easily if you would just get with the program and do what I want you to do. I think that can all of us can say amen to that, right? It's almost like God is looking at our lives and saying, hey, I got a plan for you. If you have put your trust in me, I am your Savior, and you have your salvation secure. But all these little rabbit trails that you go, all these little detailers, all these little sinful excursions that you go on, you know what? Life would be easier, maybe not in this world, because Jesus says in this world you'll have troubles. In this world you'll be hated. We will suffer. So don't misunderstand me there. But easier in sight of God, if we just do things according to His plan, if we just trust in Him. The world around us may be falling apart. Our own world may be falling apart. We may be suffering and facing horrible circumstances. But if we're trusting in the Lord, if we're doing things His way, if we are walking blamelessly before Him, that's the best place we could ever be. Then he says in verse 3, then Abram fell on his face, as you should before God, right? And God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall no longer be the father of a Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. God changes his name to Abram. And the change there, it's really subtle. It's really small. It goes from father to father of a multitude, right? So I guess it's a little bit of a change. It's a little bit bigger than just the couple of sentences that or letters that are happening there. But there's a really neat thing that happens here. If you want to go to that next slide. His new name reflects what God is doing in and through him. So at this point, Abram does not have a child with Sarai. And so the way that God has promised that his covenant would be complete, the way that God has told Abram things should and would work out, hasn't happened quite yet. However, if God says something, is it going to happen? Absolutely. God is faithful to his promises. And so in this, there's an already not yet kind of aspect that is happening here. And God says, you know what? Before you get a son named Isaac, before you get this land, before you literally have so many descendants that you can't count them, they're like the stars and the sand, before all that literally comes to pass, I'm going to declare, because he's God Almighty, I'm going to declare it to be true. God says, you're no longer Abram, you're Abraham. You're father of a multitude of nations. What God has said, what God has named Abraham to be, is a reflection of what God is doing in him and through him. So how does all this apply to us today? How can we look back in Genesis chapter 17 and apply it to our life right here, right now? Other than reflecting on the fact that we serve the Almighty God, other than recognizing that before him we need to fall on our knees and submit our will, submit our plans, other than all of that, what is it that we can take away from this? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we can read this. Starting in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And check out verse 18, the beginning of it. All this is from God. If you put your trust in Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Stop living your life as though the old is still here. Stop living your life as though you still are in the chains of sin. Stop living your life in that idea and that mode, thinking that you are still controlled by sin. God has made you a new creation. God has made you into something new. And verse 18, all this is from God. He's the one that changes our hearts. He's the one that changes our minds. He's the one that changes our actions. He and he alone. So the new life that we live, it ought to be a reflection of what God has done in us. The life that you're living right now, is it? Is it a reflection of the newness of life that God has given you? The life that you're living right now, the life you lived yesterday, and the life that you'll live later today, and the life that you'll live tomorrow, what is that a reflection of? Is that a reflection of your own thoughts and desires? Is that a reflection of the habitual sin that still clings to you? Is it a reflection of the mask that you put on and parade before people and say, this is who I am, but in reality, that's not who you are? What is your life a reflection of? It ought to be a reflection of what God has done in you and in what he's doing through you. God gives Abraham a new name. And that new name is a reflection of God's work in him and through him. God has given you a new name. You know what it is? Son or daughter. Is the life that you live a reflection of that new name? It ought to be. And if it's not, you know what you could do? You could pray to him, the Almighty God, the God who nothing is impossible for. And you can say, Lord, would you make me new? Would you change me? Would you create me, carve me into the image of your son? Because I want to be less like me. I want to be more like Jesus. God, I need you, the Almighty God. That should be our prayer each and every day. Father, thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you that you are God Almighty and that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. You have saved us. You've made it possible that we could have a relationship with you. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. Would you help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you, in a way that is blameless before you? Let our identities be a reflection of who you are. As in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.